We are going to be tonight in 1 John, 1 John, chapter 3. We're at verse what, Jim? No. 7. I'm positive. I think. No, I'm not positive, but I'm close anyway. It is so hot. I saw a dog chasing a cat, and they were both walking. You've heard that before, hadn't you? My dad used to do them things all the time to me. I said, I've heard that 100 times. And then I would also say, Dad, is it going to rain? He said, if it don't, it'll be a long dry spell. And I didn't get that till later on in life, and then I got it later on in life. 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. Don't forget that this coming Sunday is homecoming. We will only have one service, and that will be at 10 o'clock. Now, we will have Sunday school, but then we'll have one service at 10 o'clock. Bring a dish for afterwards, and then we're going to fellowship together, and the church will be providing the meat. Brother Jack is going to be picking up hams, I know that, and then Joy is going to be picking up fried chicken. So we're going to have ham and fried chicken. You can't go wrong there now at all. So, and that's little Flora. That Flora? She wants her great papa. Let him. She needs to be changed, Jack. Needs to be changed. Oh, boy. All right, we're in 1 John. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father God, we just thank you for this afternoon, this day that's pretty hot, Lord. And we just thank you for it, though. And we know that if we're in it, you have brought it our way. And Father, we just thank you that we have the honor and privilege of being able to draw together, pray together, study together your word from 1 John. And Lord, we also pray for Caleb as he's in Colossians tonight. And Father, we lift up David as well and Brother Kenny as they're all teaching in the children, the youth, and the young adults, Lord, that you would be with them as well. Thank you for a wonderful week for our kids at camp. And Lord, we know that many seeds were planted and lives were changed. Thank you for the leaders who took time out of their week to go on that trip with the kids. And Father, as we approach homecoming, Lord, what a glorious day it is. It's a day that we gather together and just give praise to you, thanking you for the many years of your faithfulness in the life of this church. And Lord, we're just a small piece of it, Lord. And Father, this church was established in the early 1800s. And God, to know now that we're in 2024 and how you have worked and moved through the years, and many people have come to know Christ. Lord, you are just amazing. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you have something you're going to show me? Yeah, we're not. No Sunday school, it says in the bulletin. Okay, no Sunday school. So thank you for that. I was just assuming we was having Sunday school. So we normally do what we did last year, and so I guess she looked at for what we did last year. So no Sunday school, just 10 a.m. service. Okay. All right, chapter 3, verse 7. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous. Just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Now, I heard Brother Jack talking the other day, Sunday night, as he was teaching through Zechariah. And he was talking about sin and talking about how we are born sinners. Are you a sinner because you sin? Or do you sin because you're a sinner? And I know that causes you to think. I want you to pause, because this nails down everything. Okay, this nails down everything in your doctrine, in your theology. I'm going to say it one more time. Do you sin because you're a sinner, or are you a sinner because you sin? You sin because you're a sinner. So it's not when you sin you become a sinner. It's you're born into sin. You're born fallen, you're born dead and decayed and dead, stone cold dead. And Ephesians 2, he made you alive in Christ Jesus. And so we have to nail that down to understand all of this, okay? So the reason that the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin. Now, we have to be really clear. No one who is born of God will continue to sin. But do you still sin? What that's literally saying is that if you're born of God, you're not going to continually live in a lifestyle of sin. It doesn't mean that you're not ever going to sin. You're not sinless, but you sin less as you walk with God. And so as a born-again believer, that's called the process of sanctification. And then the next process is glorification. And so in this life that we're living, you're no longer, as a born-again believer, you're now a saint of God who sins. You're not in an habitual lifestyle of sin. That's why we say that if you're truly born again, there's going to be evidence in your life that you are born again. If there's no evidence in your life and there's no fruit in your life, then what you did was you've gone through an emotional time in your life. And you were on an emotional time. It wasn't a life change. Whenever Christ comes into your life, there is going to be a life change in your life. And so you're going to see it. But the real neat thing is that others are going to see it in your life. You're going to see that your life has changed. You're going to sense that your life has changed. I remember plainly. I'll never forget the day that God changed me. Did it mean that I was perfect? I was perfect in His eyes through the blood of Jesus. But I still had some sin in my life. I would still sin from time to time, but I wasn't in that habitual lifestyle of sin. Okay? So I want to make sure that we understand that. Does anybody have any questions about that? Okay. So God's will continue. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in them. And they cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother or their sister and their sister. And so I've shared this with you before that I've had people come to me over the years in pastoring. I'm sure Brother Jack has too. Who come to me and said, "Hey, Brother Jack, I'm struggling with my salvation. Don't know whether or not I'm saved or not. I'm really bothered on whether or not I'm saved or not. I struggle with sin in my life and all of this." And then I always go back to 1 John, of course. But then secondly, a good sign and a good evidence that you are born again is that you are struggling with sin. That you are struggling with sin. If you're not struggling with sin, you don't have a problem with sin, then there's a good chance that you're probably not born again. But if you're born again, you're going to hate sin. The Holy Spirit of God is going to convict you of your sin. It's going to bother you to no end. Jim, if you sin, knowingly sin, does it bother you? Absolutely. And if I were to ask you, if you sin, does it bother you? See, if it doesn't bother you, that's not a good thing. Because the true born-again believer, the sin in their life is going to bother them. And they're not going to be able to get away with it, for one. And number two, it's going to bother you to no end. Verse 11. "For this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another." That is how the world is going to know Number one, that we are of God by how we love one another, by how we care for one another, how we take care of one another. Now, just because someone messes up doesn't mean you write them off. Doesn't mean that you don't love them anymore, right? You and I, more than anything else or anyone else, should be the first people to give grace. Why is it that grace sometimes is the last thing we give? Why is it that the first thing we give a lot of time is judgment? A lot of times we give judgment, we give criticism, we give harsh reality. But you know, one of the first things that we should give is grace. One of the first things we should give is love towards someone else. Now, we're not going to be perfect. We're going to mess up and we're going to blow it from time to time. And when we do, we should be the first ones there lovingly to give grace and to give mercy. Okay? So it says, "For this is the message you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother." I mean, his brother. I mean, this was his physical brother. And he murdered him. He said, don't be like that. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. You see, the difference between the two is one of them was righteous and one of them was evil. I said Sunday that we should not be surprised the way lost people act. You know what really surprises me is the way believers act toward lost people, acting the way lost people act. You see, it shouldn't surprise us when we see a lost person acting the way they do. You know what they're doing? They're acting according to their nature. You and I also acted according to our nature when we were lost. As a matter of fact, we even look for ways to sin. We not only sin, we even look for ways to sin. We created ways to sin. And then whenever Christ came into our lives, then at that moment, we hated the sin that we carry and act upon. But here he's bringing a distinction between Cain and Abel and how one was righteous and how one was evil. One had evil intentions and one had righteous intentions. And so he's bringing about the distinction between the two. Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. I hope you got that underlined in your Bible. I hope that you underline it and you circle it and you put arrows to it, because we need to be reminded of this. If we are walking with the Lord and we're following the righteousness of God, guess what? The world is going to hate you. We shouldn't desire the world to love us. Sometimes, let's just be honest, we don't like to be not liked. We like to be liked and we like to be loved. And when someone doesn't love us, we do our best to try to get them to love us. But we shouldn't try to get the world to love us. As a matter of fact, if all you have to do is just walk with God, all you have to do is walk with Him and stay focused on Him, and the world will come after you. The world will come after you with everything it has, because you are totally going against the world's belief system. We see it every day. There are Christians all over the world being persecuted physically, being persecuted emotionally. There are Christians in the United States that are going through persecution as well. Why? Because the world hates Christ. It says, if it hates me, it will also hate you. So if the world hates you, we know that you have passed from death to life. If the world hates you, you know that you have passed from death to life. I want this to sink in. Does the world hate you? You see, that's how you know. Remember in 1 John, the reason he's writing this letter, again, chapter 5, is so that you may know that you believe in the Son of God. And so he's bringing evidence in. He's bringing examples in. He's bringing practical living in here. He says, if the world hates you, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. We love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who does not love remains in death. It is a scary thing to go against God. This week, I'm not going to get into the political realm of things, but just the opening of the ceremony of the games. I literally was scared for them. Because God is not to be mocked. And you can, they can write it off and say, well, that's not what it was. Leave that, even you don't even bring up that part. It's just the abomination of the direction that the world is going in. And so therefore, it scared me, and I began to pray for them. I began to pray for them. Why? Jesus prayed from the cross. What did he say? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so in our love for one another, we need to love the lost. You don't have to love their ways, but they are a soul. And the truth of the matter is, everyone who is born is going to die. And everyone who is born is going to die, and they're going to die, and they're going to go either to heaven or hell. And that is the reality. And there are a lot of people in this world who do not believe that, but they will believe that. They will believe that one day. Why? Because they're going to physically, they're going to see it before them. And so we have to remember that lost people do what lost people do. Why? Because they're dead in their sins. Therefore, we pray for them to see the Christ that we see. It should break our hearts. It should break our hearts. And I was somewhat, a little bit frustrated at the way Christians acted. How are we going to win them if we're critical of them? I want you to hear me. I'm not condoning sin. But at the same time, you and I are to love them where they are, not where we think they should be. And so we are to love them. And I go automatically to myself. And I think about how I was and how I was lost and how there were those who prayed for me. And I'm sure that there are people who looked at me and said stuff about me. But I am thankful that there were people who didn't give up on me, that continued praying for me and continued bringing the gospel to me. Because it was the gospel. It was the gospel in love that changed Trad York's life. And it was the gospel that changed your life. And if we're not careful Christians, we can put ourselves on a pedestal and think we're better than everyone else. And the reality is, we are who we are, and we are where we are by the grace of God in our life. So therefore, it should bring us to the point in our life to pray for those who are walking in darkness. To pray for those who are walking in darkness. Y'all have any thoughts? Y'all are a quiet bunch tonight. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Absolutely. 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 And there was a Christian athlete who, if I'm not mistaken, had some hearing impairment and was witnessing through sign language as well. And so, yes, how can we as a church pray for what's going on in Paris? Pray for the Christian athletes. And I'm pretty sure that there are Christian organizations over there right now who are witnessing and passing out tracts and sharing the gospel. Have we thought to pray for them? Let's pause right now. Father, I want to pray for the Christian athletes right now. Lord, who are there representing their country. But ultimately, their mission and their goal is to win them to Christ. And I know there are Christians over there who are doing that. And I know that there are organizations and there are teams of people who are over there witnessing and passing out tracts and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that You would give them favor, You would give them boldness, You would give them courage. Lord, remind us that lost people do what lost people do. That should break our hearts. And Lord, we pray for those churches over in Paris right now that, God, they would be filled to the brim. And Father, that we would see a great revival breaking out from all this, Lord. Lord, it's easy sometimes on our side to just be critical of others. But Lord, help us to love the way You loved us. And Father, it was Your kindness and Your goodness that led us to repentance. And Lord, we give You all the glory right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank You. That just reminded me to pray, Sheila. Thank you. Verse 11. For this is the message you heard from the beginning, and we should love one another. Do not be like Cain and belong to the evil one, or murder his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother or sister is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Now, when we think about Jesus Christ laying down His life for us, what one word comes to your mind? What one word? When you think about Jesus Christ laying down His life for us, what one word comes to your mind? Sacrifice. Salvation. Love. But He sacrificed. And so, therefore, we ought to be sacrificing for our brothers. So here we are looking in the mirror right now. Are we sacrificing our lives for our brothers and sisters in Christ? So what is a sacrifice? What is a sacrifice? In your definition, what would it be? What would a sacrifice be? Huh? To do without? Okay. What else? Go ahead. To give up your time. What else? Financially. Time. Finances. What else? Anything else? Compassion. Compassion toward others. So when we're talking about loving our brothers and sisters in Christ, it's sacrificing. What is it if it's no sacrifice? So when we sacrifice, we are sacrificing, giving up our time, giving up our energy, giving up our finances. Why? compassion for the gospel. So this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother and sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and truth. Talk is what? Cheap. Talk is cheap. But He's saying for us to love with our actions and truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth. Jesus says what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is how we know that we belong to the truth. And how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts. And He knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask because we keep His commands. Now let me ask you this. Is He saying here that whatever you ask for, God will give you, whatever it is? Yes. And sometimes He says, no, it's not good for you. It's not saying here, whatever you ask for, He's going to give you. He's going to give you what is according to His will. But you and I are to ask according to His will. It needs to be in line with His will, according to His will. Now, have you ever stopped and listened to some of your prayers? Sometimes you can learn a lot from listening to your prayers. Are your prayers filled with your wants or are your prayers filled with His will? And so, here He says, all you have to do is ask. Our hearts condemn us, we're mad. And we receive from Him anything we ask because we keep His commands and do what pleases Him. And this is His command, to believe in the name of His Son. This is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, this word believe isn't a one-time act. It is an ongoing life. I want you to get that. It's not a one-time decision. It is a lifetime commitment. And so this word believe literally means as you're believing. That when you put your faith and trust in Christ and you are changed, your life is going to be a continual life of continuing to believe who He says He is. So today, when I'm 50, I'll be 55 in December. I came to Christ when I was 23. I made a profession of faith. I repented of my sins. I put my faith and trust in Christ. I'm still to this day believing wholeheartedly that He is the Son of God. As a matter of fact, my belief in Him is stronger than it was when I was 23. Why? Because of the evidence that I've learned over the years of who He is. And it's only gotten stronger. Brother Jack, and I use you as an example. How long have you been a believer? He's for God. Forty-five years. Do you believe stronger today than you did when you first believed? You know Him better. You know Him better. And you love Kay more than you've ever loved her in your life. Why? You've grown with her. You know her better. The same thing is true in our walk with the Lord. How in the world can someone just say, I believe, and all of a sudden they stop believing? They never believed. They never believed. So a person who is truly born again has truly been changed and they truly believe. So it says, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. The one who, let me just make a side note here. God didn't suggest we love one another. He commanded us to love one another. He didn't suggest it. He said, okay, here's a suggestion that you love one another. He commands us to love one another. And lives in Him, and He in them. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit that He gave us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. I mean, isn't it awesome that we have the Spirit of God living in us? You know, you can meet someone, and I'm going to the Sing conference coming up in a month, and I'm going to meet new Christians, I'm going to meet Christians at this conference that I've never met before. And we're going to have something that is so in common, and the common denominator that we're going to have is the Holy Spirit of God. And you're going to be able to talk to them, and you're going to feel like you've known them a lifetime. Why? Because we know the Savior who's been in our life a lifetime. And so it is going to be awesome. And so the Spirit of God is living in us. Can I stop right here just a minute? What has the Spirit of God been teaching you lately? I mean, really teaching you. Yes. He's been teaching you about humbleness. Well, that's a rough one right there, and He humbles us. What has He really been teaching you? The Holy Spirit of God.
Trust.
To trust Him? Yeah. He always tells you the truth. Yeah. Yeah, about yourself. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I was sitting back here before I got here an hour and a half early. And I was sitting back here where Sheila's at. And no one was in here. It's just me. And I was just thinking about all the years. You know how you do, you know what I'm talking about. Of all the people who've sit in these pews over the years. This church was established, 1850? Am I right? And how many people have sat in these pews? Jana Marie, your parents, your great grandparents. I've just been thinking of just different ones and the testimony that they have and the goodness of God in their lives and how God brought John to us. You know, John has got one of the most important ministries here at Waldo Baptist Church. Y'all probably don't know that. He picks up Red's Donuts every Sunday morning. And he's doing online for Sunday school. But some people think, you know, you don't know how that is important. I'm telling you, these kids come in here and they look for that. And I am so thankful and so blessed for each and every one of you and for this church and what it has meant to me and my family and what it still means to me and what it's always going to mean to me and my family. You know what we have in common? The Holy Spirit of God. You know what? We will always have that in common. Always. If you're truly born again, we will always have that in common. So if we have the Holy Spirit in us and we have that in common, you know what that makes us? And you're going to say, duh, brothers and sisters. Nothing is going to change that. Ever. Ever. And so that is cool. We have the Holy Spirit of God living in us. Verse 1, chapter 4. Let me get a drink while you're looking at it. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit. We just talked about the spirit. But don't believe every spirit. But test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out and into the world. How do you know? Well, the Holy Spirit of God and the evil spirit, they aren't compatible. Okay? The Holy Spirit of God is what's compatible with the Holy Spirit of God. So there are going to be evil spirits that are going to come. And they're going to try to sway you. Now look what it says. False prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Now, what we're getting into here is the denying of the incarnation. And there were some who did not believe in the incarnation. When I'm talking about the incarnation, we're also talking about the deity of Christ, that Christ came in the flesh, but he was also God. Brother Jack has said this for many years, and I remember it as a new believer. He is called the what? The God-man. So he is fully human and he's fully God. This is how in Hebrews it can say that he knows what you're going through. He knows how you feel. He knows what's going on with you. Why? Because he has gone through everything that you have gone through. So if there is anyone that can identify with you, it is Jesus Christ. And he knows exactly everything you're going through. So this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard coming, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I mean, can we just pause right there for a minute? I'm going to say that one more time so that you can sink that in and I can sink that in. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Christ Jesus is in you. There is nothing better, nothing greater. When this world looks like it's falling apart, Christ is in you. It's all you need. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And you have the Holy Spirit of God in you, you have it all. You have everything. You, dear children, are from God, and you have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world. Now all you got to do is just look and listen to the world. They'll speak from the viewpoint of the world. You can distinguish between those who are speaking of the world and those who are speaking of the Lord. So don't combine them. You can't. And the world listens to them. And the world listens to them. We are from God. And whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of the falsehood. This is how the disciples could recognize those evil spirits and those who are good spirits, or that good spirit, because they recognized it through the Word of God and through the Spirit of God that was living in their life. Verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another. Man, he keeps hitting this, don't he? Y'all notice that? Let us love one another. There must be a problem. There must be an issue. There must be something that John is wanting to drive home in our life. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Now, I want to also add a side note. Because we can get so hung up on God is love that we forget that God is wrath. God is righteous. God is justice. And so we just want to focus in on one attribute. God's love. Yes, He is. But He's also wrathful. And in His love and in His wrathfulness, He is just. So when He pours out His wrath, He is just. And when He pours out His love, He is just. God cannot and will not ever make a wrong decision, because He is perfect in all of His ways. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed us His, this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. That we might live through Him. There is only one God that has ever risen from the dead. And I don't want you all to ever, and I know that you won't, ever forget that it was only Jesus that rose from the dead. Victorious over death, hell, and the grave. All the other gods are dead. And He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. Did y'all catch that? We were enemies of God. The Bible says, according to Romans 7, we were enemies of God. I wasn't seeking God. I didn't love God until we first... I didn't even know what love was. I thought love was something based upon a country song. It was His love toward me. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Now, there's going to be times that we're going to have different views on things. We're not going to see things different. We're not going to see things exactly the same. And because of that, doesn't mean that we shouldn't love one another. You know, there was John Wesley and George Whitefield. John Wesley and George Whitefield were believers, but they had different doctrine. They just wasn't in the same realm on their doctrine. And so someone asked sometime, George Whitefield, do you think you'll ever see John Wesley in heaven? And George Whitefield says, no. He said, he'll be so far ahead of me, I don't think I'll ever see him. And here were two people that just believed differently. Not in the fact that Jesus Christ had died for their sins and was risen from the dead. They believed that wholeheartedly. But how they arrived at that thing. And so what happens is, we have a tendency, and if we're not careful within the Christian faith and the believers, we tend to separate ourselves and we don't have a love toward one another. And that shouldn't be. As a matter of fact, we should have grace toward one another and in love teach one another. Does anybody have any thoughts? Correct me if I'm wrong. I mean it. Any thoughts? Boy, y'all are quiet. All right, I'm going to go on if y'all don't have any thoughts. Okay. Here we go. Where am I at? There I am. All right. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in Him and He is in us. He has given us His Spirit. Second time He said this here, just quickly. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. And I'm going to pause right here just for a minute too. Because there are some people, and I want you to know this specifically. Just because you say the sinner's prayer doesn't mean you're saved. You can say the sinner's prayer all day long and not believe. But if you come to that point in your life that you are convicted over your sin and you repent of your sin and you put your faith in Jesus Christ, the one who did for you what you could not do for yourself, nowhere in Scripture does it say, all you got to do is say the sinner's prayer and you're going to be saved. You find it for me, and you might could change my... But what it says that you must repent and believe. Repent and believe. And that word again, believe, is to continue believing in what Jesus Christ has done for you. Now, in your heart, you're going to pray, God, forgive me for my sin. I'm trusting in You as my Savior and my Lord, and you're going to walk with Him. Does that make sense? Y'all with me? Okay, good. This gets me excited. I'm sorry. It just does. This is how where am I at? Verse 15. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because He first loved us. Now, does it mean that you don't have Christ if you have fear? How many of you ever have fear? It doesn't mean you don't have Christ, right? Sometimes when our fear can lead from a lack of faith. Most of the time, all the time, it probably is in mine. Whenever there is fear in my life, it's a lack of faith in Christ. Now, do y'all ever struggle with lack of faith? Okay, so I don't think He's saying here, if you have fear, no, that's not what He's meaning. Again, you don't take words and twist them out of context here, okay? Let me go on, and I'm closing. Flora told me it is enough. We love because He first loved us. Whoever claims to love God, yet hates a brother or sister, is a liar. Whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And He has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. So next week, Jim.
Yes, sir.
Chapter 5. Jim is the chapter police. All right, he's going to let us know where we are. All right, thank you all for letting me just open up the Scriptures. So.